With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hallå där, Niklas Holmgren här. Han är född och uppvuxen i ett av de tuffaste områdena i London. Han började spela fotboll först när han var 11 år. Hans karriär har inte varit spikrak och utan fotbollen hade han, enligt egen utsago, valt en destruktiv livsstil. I Holmgren möter denna vecka Millwall-mannen, förre AIK-aren och Ljungskile-spelaren, nu i assyriska, Kenny Pavey. Vill du komma i kontakt med mig så går det utmärkt via Twitter, Niklas_Holmgren, eller Facebook, Holmgren möter, eller hemsidan niklasholmgren. Nu, här på Swinglish, Kenny Pavey. God lyssning. Kenneth Stephen Pavey, född i London den 23 augusti 1979. Hallå Kenny!
Hello.
Vi satt och pratade här innan om vi skulle ta det på engelska eller på svenska, men vi kan väl köra det på swinglish?
Yes,
ja,
det går good.
Ja, det går good. Ja.
Det går bra, det går bra.
Jag kör på svenska så ja. får du välja vad som känns.
Tack så mycket.
Var i London är du uppväxt?
Uppväxt i Peckham, söder London.
Och syd, åt sydost där nere åt...
Ja, det är typ Newcross. Om du har köpt en Monopoly-bord, ja. Engelsk Monopoly-bord, det är samma plats som Newcross Gate, som ja, okay. är billigast okay. du kan köpa en Monopoly-bord. Så det är en... Det är ingen Mayfair, jag kan säga det.
Det är vid Thamesen, va? Vid Thames?
Ja, ja. Nä, söder.
Men om vi tittar och vi pratar fotbollslag då, så har du ju i South East, söder om ja. Thames, ja. Så har du ju, då har du ju Charlton och Millwall som är ja. Ditt lag.
Crystal Palace.
Crystal
också.
Palace är mer centralt, alltså det är mer rakt söderut, va?
Nej, söder East.
South East också. Och Wimbledon?
Så, ja, ganska nära lite.
Ja, ja det, de ligger ja, där nere.
Det är ganska många. Det är
vilken av de klubbarna är det närmast du är född?
Alltså, ja, Millwall.
Är det Millwall?
Ja. Jag kan kasta en sten från min lägenhet till straffområdet, så det var ganska nära.
Det gamla den. Ja,
och sen de byter stadion, men det är också ganska nära också.
Hörru du, men min känsla av det var ju, det är en arbetarområde, är det inte det? Working class, blue collar.
Ja, precis, ja. Precis. Ja, vi är ganska nöjda med den utlägg, så det är killarna som gör det jobb, kommer till hålla på laget och sen hem igen och har lite dåligt hysteri också, men vi är absolut working class.
Ja, och det ja dåligt rykte, ja precis, det var ju det
ta försiktigt
nu. Det var Millwallare här, ja men det var stökigt förut, framförallt förut var det väl riktigt stökigt runt Millwalls matcher,
ja, speciellt i 70-80-talet och ja även lite senare också. Även 50-60 år sedan, så tyvärr har vi den fortfarande, men det blir bättre och bättre.
Who's the worst? West Ham är de värst?
West Ham som Millwall, vi hatar mest, så vi kan väl säga.
Charlton är okej, eller?
Ja, det är lillebrorsan.
Lillebror, ja. Okay.
Men de börjar bli lite kaxig nu, så vi måste ta lite försiktigt med dem. Det är en anorax.
Jag vet att du har många goa Millwall. Det är ganska tuff. Det är tufft för spelarna också, för publiken är demanding, de är krävande.
Ja, absolut. Ja. Det är inte lätt att spela för Millwall, och det är absolut inte lätt att spela mot dem, speciellt med fansen. De så, alla vet i England, planen är ganska nära läktare, och i Millwall det är ganska mycket abuse som kommer från fansen.
Hur kan det låta då? Hur kan det låta, speciellt Millwall abuse?
Du kan
take it in English om du vill.
Men det kan bli ganska äckligt. Även jag ibland, det var för lite för mycket, och pratar om någon, det är ganska tuff, speciellt Lily Man, och kanske om man har lite det är svårt att säga, men om man gör någonting fel, han kommer att höra det för 90 minuter, absolut.
Är Millwall fansen stolta, liksom proud over their reputation?
Vi säger ut i publik kanske inte, men jag tror absolut vi är kanske mer populära för fansen än fotbollslag, så speciellt när det är så många films om Millwall, som Football Factory och Green Street Hooligans och bla 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 bla. Det är ganska många, och det är inte så vi har en andra sida också, och som jag säger, klubbar jobbar jävla mycket och vill ta bort den, men tyvärr det är histori, och det är någonting fortfarande vi har lite grann, men det är inte som förut, för nu polisen har bra koll och CCTV, så det är inte så mycket man kan göra. Men jag har sett ganska mycket när jag traveled över hela England med Millwall, så upp till Newcastle, ner till Southampton, och så jag har sett ganska mycket utom plan, och för mig är det ganska normalt, men det blir lite konstigt kanske för någon family som vill åka till London och kolla en riktig brittisk match, och gå och kolla på Millwall, och det kanske inte är samma sak som gå och kolla på Arsenal, kan vi säga.
Det är lite mer, det är mer rå stämning.
Precis. Det är inte så många, men det är många familjer som går, men som jag säger, det är ofta barnen som skriker mer än din pappa, så det är ganska roligt för mig, speciellt när jag inte har många möjligheter att se dem spela. Så varje gång jag är hemma, jag går och åker till Stockholm Road, faktiskt. Aha, det heter
Stockholm Road, yeah. I Millwall.
Ja, precis. Och kolla någon match, och jag skrattar ganska mycket, för ibland kvalitet är inte bästa, men de har ganska många comedians på läktare, och det är roligt.
Can you mention something? Can I någonting så där funny?
It's just banter, you know. I take in English, yes. You know, like when maybe someone has a funny haircut, you know, maybe someone run down from behind you, just run past you, push everybody out of the way, run straight in front of the guy when he's taking a throw on, and say, "Grow up," you know, because he's got a silly haircut, you know. But yeah, that's one of the nicer ones I can say. Okay. You know, normally it's a lot more, violent abuse, so we say, that they will always remember. I remember speaking to a few players that have actually played against Millwall, and they always say they hate it. You know, they hate playing down at Mill. Oh, they're on you straight away. What you're wearing, your boots, your haircut, the passes you make. You know, the referee is always, you know, against us and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. It's interesting.
Men du är en diehard Millwall fan.
Like I said, I've been going Millwall since I was born, and you know, I was ball Kelly a couple of times. I was ball Kelly against Manchester United, against Aston Villa when we was in the top league. Obviously played for Millwall, and yeah, it was a great experience. I went to all the soccer schools when I was a kid, even Even when I was meant to go to school, I didn't go to school and I went to the soccer schools instead. Yeah, I was a naughty boy. just to see and play football and be with the players, you know. At the time, they had the players like Tony Cascarino, Teddy Sheringham, Jimmy Carter, Brian Hall, Terry Hurlock, Kevin O'Callaghan. I mean, they were my heroes growing up, and they were the reason why I wanted to be a footballer. And quite recently, I got the opportunity to meet them all again. I got a ticket for a special event. It was Millwall Legends, where all the legends of 89, 90 got together. Everybody from Frank McClintock, who was the assistant at the time, John Doherty, who was the manager, even the physio was there. So all the players were there, obviously. And I went out the night before, and I was a little bit naughty, and I went out the night before. I had a little bit too many shandies, should we say, with Josh Heufeld, actually. He was over in London, and a few of my pals. And so the morning when I woke up, I weren't really prepared. So I had all these memorabilia, but, you know, my mates were knocking on the door, so I had to get up and go quickly. So when I got to this event, like, all my other mates, they had their meal shirts and this to sign, that to sign. I didn't have nothing. So we turns up to this place, and it was a meal first, you know? And I see this meal plate. Everybody has these plates. I look at this meal plate and I think, oh my God, that plate. So I take the plate and I pull it under the table. And I called the waiter over. I said, excuse me, mate, I didn't get a plate. And then he brung me over another plate. So I took the plate and I went over to one of the tables. It was one of my old managers, Alan Walker. And I said, hello, Walks. He was like, oh, Kenny Faye, how are you doing, son? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, Walks, listen, do me a favor. Take this. If I give you this plate, you can get all the players to sign it. So he said, yeah, sure, son, sure. And then everybody, all the legends, they sign it. So I got this plate that no one else in the world has got, I promise you, signed with all the legends. So it's my pride and joy. So it was a fantastic day for me. So yes, you can say I'm a diehard fan.
Men vill mål nu. 18 League One.
Yes, League One. Yeah, it's very up and down. Couple of games we do good, then we're bad, you know. The other week we played one. Yeah, you can realize it's like a Mickey Mouse Cup, you know, where we got to the final and it was over two legs and we lost 2-0. And, you know, so it's a process, I'd like to say. You know, we've got Neil Harris as coach, who's a legend for the club, taking over. So he's got the fans. The fans have got his back and giving him time. He actually took over from Ian Holloway towards the end of the season, and I think actually if he would have taken over before, we would have stayed up, because the results at the end of the season were a bit more like Millwall. At least even if we drew or lost, we still had that fight, and that's all we want down at the Den. We just want people to give it everything they have, you know. We know the quality is going to be there sometimes, but in general in the championships it's all about working, you know, and showing the quality when you have it. And we did that at the end of last season. But this year is, I don't know. I'm positive that we can still go up.
Det här med inställningen, Kenny, nu pratar jag svenska. Ja. Det här med inställningen, den är ju så väldigt, väldigt engelsk eller brittisk. Jag pratade med en av talangscouterna som hjälper de engelska lagen, så säger om det är en bra spelare, han har bra inställning, så tittar de bara på honom. Vadå inställning? Bra inställning har väl alla spelare. Men vad är det med det där? För att inne med engelska matcherna, även om det är 4-0 till ett lag, så är det liksom hela tiden. Och du har ju den också på planen.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like, for example, I was watching Liverpool the other day, and you're looking at a player like, let's say, James Milner, for example. He's not probably most people's choice as like, you know, to put on the table, but I can guarantee you, for a manager, he's probably one of the first on the paper, because you need them people, you need them ones, the hard working, to give the quality to the superstars, the one that gets all the back pages, you know what I mean? But it's the hard working ones, the Lucases, the Hendersons, the Milners, that are making all the things happen. And if they don't put their work in, it don't give time and space for the stars, so to speak. So everybody needs that. I mean, if you look at any successful team, they always have these hardworking players. If you can mix it with even the likes of Barcelona, you know what I mean? Some teams like Dortmund, for example, have five or six, do you know what I mean? But at the same time, they have that quality also on top of that, that they can make a bit of magic. So in a championship, it's not so much magic, but it's more like hard work, grit, and a hell of a lot of games. And I think a lot of teams are very, and managers are very surprised when they go to England, because it's not like any other league in the world. There's just nothing like it, you know? So there's no easy games.
Men just inställningen, den känns så väldigt brittisk. Jag menar, ni kör, ni bara kör. Ni vet, matchen är slut, det borde vara fast att ge upp. Men ni kör. Det är sällan det blir helt dött som det kan bli i andra. Det är bara gått till Sverige. Det är inte den här riktiga. Alltså, vad har ni fått det ifrån att ni är så...
I think for me personally, how I look, like I said earlier, you know, I traveled all over England with Millwall, so I've been in the stands. I know what it's like to be in a stand and look at players, and when players don't run back, when players don't give everything, you know, we get frustrated. So I kind of have that connection with the fans and with the players, and I understand what the fans want. And maybe not so many players that actually play football got a chance to travel as much as I did, and you know, to away games and really see, you know, going to Anfield and seeing how we drew 1-1 against Liverpool, our first time at Anfield. What's his name? Paul Stevenson. I'll never forget it. Teddy Sheringham laid it off. Paul Stevenson, top corner, brilliant goal. 1-1 against Liverpool, little Millwall. And the attitude of the players, you know, that, I mean, they were just heroes to us. When we come home, it's like, oh, did you see that? How him, Les Brierley, he was working so hard. It's normally them players that end up being the heroes. Steven Gerrard, you know, as quality of a player he is, they love him at Liverpool for his heart, his passion for the club, for football. Do you know what I mean? Now, someone like maybe Alonso, is a little bit different, more technical, blah, blah, blah. Great player, you know, won World Cups and everything like that. But when you compare him to someone like Steven Gerrard, who's box to box, who's win changing games for you and, you know, lifting the crowd through a tackle or a shot or something like this, you know, and also homegrown. When you put all that together, I mean, it's a bomb waiting to go off, you know. And sometimes, obviously, they make mistakes, and you know, sometimes the passion gets inside of us or them too much, and that's when you get the cards, and you know.
Är ni födda med, born with that passion? Kommer det med modersmjölken, eller?
Me growing up in Peckham, I didn't start playing football till I was late. I didn't play for a team until I was 11, I think. But I always played on the estate where I lived, so I played with older boys and you know 27 against 27, you know, on the pitch, and one tree and one dustbin as a goal, and you know, like this. And you know, I guess you get that kind of toughness from that situation, the passion you get from the older ones teasing you, and you have to have thick skin. And then, like I said, you know, going to Millwall, listening to the fans, the comedians in the crowd, you know, saying stuff, and you know, you think, oh, I don't want to be like that, you know, I don't want to get abused for not running home or something like that. So it gets into your head, it gets into your body, and you build up a character, and yeah, that's what you end up being. Well, in my case, ja. At least.
Vad tycker, tror du, engelsmän rent generellt om att, till exempel, det har ju hänt att, ska vi ta Arsenal, ställer upp i en engelsk ligamatch utan en enda engelsman. Vad tycker ni innerst inne om det?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just such a shame, do you know what I mean? Because Arsenal over the years have proven, you know, they've had many a great team with English players, especially when they, you know, the Invincibles, and you know, with that fantastic back line that they had, including the goalkeeper, Seaman, was it Dixon,
Winterburn, Adams, Boldelin,
yeah, whoever Fiona, mixes, yeah, yeah, no, the likes of Anders Limpar, Ray Parler,
yeah.
yeah, coming through, Ian Wright,
Paul Merson,
yeah. they've proven they can do it and be one of the best teams ever by doing it. And then all of a sudden you get this attitude where, okay, we can go buy this player cheap, that player cheap, and if the players perform, then you can do nothing but hold your hands up. But there has to be something, because later on it will, without a doubt, affect the national team.
Och det har det ju gjort.
And that's what's happened.
Det har det ju gjort. Yeah. Och debatten har ju pågått länge i England. Hur ska vi göra?
What to do? You can put a cap on how many players play, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they've put millions and millions and millions into youth projects and like this to try and bring more and more players through. But at the same time, there's more and more players coming from abroad, younger and younger. I mean, players 14, 15 coming from Sweden all the way from Australia. I mean, Tim Cahill. You know, he come from Mills ranks from Australia. You know, so it's really, really hard for the players to get through. And what happens is, a lot of the time when players go through the academies and come through the youth and try and break through, they're sort of part of the furniture. So when another player comes in from abroad that they've paid money for, it's like, okay, he's okay, he's one of us, like we've got him, we got to play this guy first, we just paid a lot of money for him. So this other guy who's waiting there, who's worked all his life, who's been through the club, all this, gets impatient, ends up going out on loan and then not playing with the same good quality players, and then maybe doesn't perform as good, so he don't get an extension on his contract to, let's say, for example, Arsenal. So then he ends up signing for a mediocre team in the Championship, blah, 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 loses his way, and then that's him gone. Instead of really pushing these players through, giving them the chances, like the likes of Southampton playing young players, West Ham, I hate to say it, but West Ham over the years, fantastic youth quality coming through all
Tottenham
the time.
Tottenham,
I mean, how many players do they have, Englishmen in there? So, I mean, it can be there. I think when the Premier League was first started, the whole idea was, yeah, it's going to make the league better, it's going to make the English players better, playing with better quality players, it's going to affect the national team in a positive way. Instead, it's done the reverse. What's happened is, you got players playing for the national team that can't even get in their club. Do you know what I mean? I remember Wayne Rooney and Welbeck one year being on a bench for Man United. And they were playing with Chiellito and Van Persie. Week after, they're starting up front for England for us.
Det känns nästan som att det räcker om du får spela en match från start i Premier League. Ja. Ringer Roy Hodgson.
Ja, precis.
You want to play for the national team.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, we have got good quality players, but, you know, unfortunately, football now is a business. It's all about business. It's all about money. It's all about agents and politics, and that's unfortunately the way it's gone. And I can't really see it changing, you know, unless you do a cap. But then, you know, you don't want to lose too many of these fantastic quality foreign players. You know, there's got to be a little bit of give and a little bit of take somewhere.
Så Kenny Pivi växte upp då i sydöstra London, och du började med fotboll sent, så när du var 11 år.
Yeah, I started playing for a team called Athenley. Like I said, I played around the estate with all my mates and everything. I played for my school like once every weekend, you know, on these big, heavy, muddy pitches. I think played most games with rugby goals. That might explain some of my shooting. But my mum met my stepdad, he was the one that, you know, started to get me into, take me to clubs and stuff. And one of my mates played for this team called Athenley, who I believe Rio Ferdinand played for. I went down for a trial, and they said, yeah, straight away they signed me, and I played my first game for them against a Welsh team. A Welsh team were down in South London for some reason, in Peckham. And I scored four goals. We won 4-0. I scored all four goals, and Yeah, and it just went on from there. I got signed from Millwall at the end of the year. I won the player. I won everything for that club, and it just went rolling from there, really. So
var det en surprise? Var det en överraskning att det var så bra, eller hade du inte känt innan när du spelade med kompisarna på planen hemma att du,
I remember. I remember even later on in life speaking to some of my, because I moved from Peckham a little bit later when I was about 15, 16. I moved from Peckham, and I used to go back and bump into old mates and stuff, and obviously kept contact. And we always, they used to say, what a player he is, blah, blah. Yeah, when we were younger, we didn't used to knock for him, because every time we used to play this, we used to play a game called Wembley. I don't know what you call it here. No. When you have one goalkeeper, yeah. And I always used to win. Mm-hmm. And it weren't really fun for anyone else. So they didn't used to knock for me in the morning when we used to play. But, you know, if we was playing other games or whatever, then I was always getting a knock and things like that. But when it was football, I stopped getting the knocks. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started to play with older players, because I weren't, you know, tearing it up as much against them. So, and that's when I felt that, yeah, I have a little something here, you know, I can do something. But I've always loved football, and I've always had a ball by me, you know. It's just
hur var det i det området då där du växte upp? Var det bara fotboll som gällde, eller kunde det ha blivit cricket eller rugby, eller det var fotboll?
No, it was just football. Football and it was, you know, very working class. I had a good upbringing, but it was really tough area where I grew up, and there was a lot going on, and a very lot of crime, and yeah, you just sort of take it as the norm, you know. You don't know any different. It's more when you move away and you go back and you think, oh wow, you know, like, you know, a lot of things happen here and stuff. So I guess that again builds up a personality and a character of you, and you got to be sort of thick-skinned, and you got to stand up for yourself, and you know, sometimes you have to learn the hard ways with stuff, you know. But you know, I wouldn't change it. I'm glad the person I turned out to be, you know, because of that area, and I'm proud where I'm from. Yeah.
Vad arbetade mamma och pappa, och sen blev du styrpappa också? Vad jobbade de med?
My mum, bless her heart. I mean, she had a hard life. My mum, my mum was, she was 17 when she had me. So me and my mum, we're more like brother and sister, you know. She was always working hard and stuff, and trying to take care of the rest of the family. Her mum died pretty young, and so it was quite a tough time for her, and you know, to keep me, even, you know, through the circumstances and everything. You know, I have a lot of praise. And she,
was it close that she had to turn you away? Was it that close? Or
I don't know. I never spoke to her about it. But you know, to be so young, I believe she was 16 when she was pregnant. You know, so
have you met your real dad?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. When I was like, I don't remember when I was young, but I met again when I was like 18 or something. Uh-huh. Like this.
How was that?
Yeah.
Wow.
More curiosity.
Yeah.
And she was working factory, I think, some kind of factory that she was working in, and. And then later on, she got some other jobs and stuff. So she was always working. And my stepdad was, he was an electrician. So, I have a lot to thank him for. He got us out of Peckham, so to speak. And he got me into taking me to football and stuff. So, yeah, it was big. Mm.
Hur var du i skolan? Du sa att du gick och tittade på andra saker än
skolan. Yeah. I was at school. I was just like really, really cheeky. Like just, you know, I think if anyone's played with me, they know I'm a little bit of a joker and stuff. And I haven't really changed from school, really. I did tricks and jokes at school, and you know, I I had I am dyslexic.
Okay.
Can't even say it, let alone spell it. So like obviously it's much better now, but when I was younger I had the big problems with that, so I went to some extra classes and stuff with that, and all my interest was football and actually music. I loved music, probably because my mum, because she's always having the music on and stuff. So obviously you grow up with that and it rubs off on you. But football was always my main passion. And like most footballers, the teachers, they tell you, you know, like, you're not going to make it. There's only a small amount of people that are going to make it. And, you know, I did my exams and I didn't do good in my exams. I got the results and my mate, Nicky Ray, still has them. I don't even have them on paper. He still has them. I didn't even pick him up. So because that's all I wanted to do. That's all my focus was, football, football, football. And lucky enough, when I left school at 15 and I went straight into like a YTS, like a youth training scheme to play football. And, you know, when you clean the boots and all this stuff. Yeah, so I did that and at Sittingbourne with Steve Lovell and Alan Walker, and yeah, it just went on from there really.
Men det var fotboll. Och det gick ju bra. Det gick ju bra för dig.
Yeah.
Det gick ju så bra så att du var uppe och provspelade med Aston Villa.
Yeah,
1997.
I heard that there was a couple of teams watching me when I was playing. I was scoring goals, I was playing well, and I don't think people would recognise that Kenny Pavey from the Kenny Pavey that really plays in Sweden. I was a totally different player, a lot more tricks and stuff.
Mere techniques.
I was very tricky and sort of like.
Och då var du forward?
Eller? I played forward and right wing. Yeah, I played non-league football. It was very physical, you know. And I remember scoring one goal and, you know, like being cheeky, sort of like giving it to the defender and saying like, you know, keep up, old man, sort of thing. And I scored a goal, ran past him and said that, and then the next time the ball come, bosh, straight, give me a big black eye. Yeah. And like it was chaos, you know what I mean? But that's how it was to play in that league. But I, like I said, you know, I wasn't the biggest, but, you know, I stood my ground, and like I said, I had this thick skin and this, no one could sort of like ever take me down kind of thing. And that did me well, and I had a number of good performances, and got a phone call from I think it's hard to remember back then, but I think it was my coach or someone from
the heter David Wilson.
David
läste jag någonting om.
David was, that was the young, that was the Sweden connection.
Okay.
What happened was there was another guy, Alfie, who he was the Aston Villa scout. So I got the call to go there. I went there for a week's trial. I went there and I played, and I mean, I felt fantastic. I didn't feel out of place. I was training with the reserve team, Gareth Barry and Darius Vassell, they were all in my team, and Lee Hendry, and the next pitch was the first team, so you could see.
Then my manager, were it Gregory?
Brian Little
var det då?
Yeah, the pitch next to us, you see Stan Collymore, Dwight York, Gareth Southgate, I mean, I think they got to the semi-final of some European Cup that year. I mean, it was a great team. Going to the stadium, seeing the stadium, fantastic. This is a bit of me, yeah. Beautiful. And the facilities and everything. Remember, I'm coming from non-league, so, I mean, it's fantastic. Going in the morning, having breakfast. What's his name? Mark Bosnich sitting next to me, you know.
The goalie, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's telling me, like, you know, giving me advice and all things like that. I felt fantastic. Then played a training match against Coventry. Gordon Strachan played for Coventry. Oh, yeah. He was a player manager then, I think, So we played this game and we lost 2-1, and I actually scored a nice goal, half volley goal. So I had a good performance, done really well. After the game, the manager, he's the one that normally takes over when someone gets sacked. He comes in. Do you know he's the assistant? He used to play for Liverpool. McDonald? Kevin McDonald. He sits us all down in a circle and he shouts at everybody and he says, you know, the only one that's giving it his all and can walk out off this pitch with his head up is this guy. And he pointed at me and I thought, I'm going to get abused from all the players now. Like, he said, because you know why you lot all think you've made it and he's here to try and make it. And that's the reason why he did the performance he did today, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, this is a done deal. I'm signing. So we finished that. We made our way back. I still had the Aston Villa tracksuit on. I travelled home with it, me and my stepdad. We travelled home. I remember speaking to a mate on one of the stops saying, yeah, mate, you went brilliant. You know, I scored, played well. The manager, like, you know, said good things about me. And we just left it there. A couple of days later, my manager called me, said that he was speaking to someone at Arsenal, not to go to Arsenal, but to find out what sort of money I should be asking for because of my age, 17, 18. And coming from non-league. And I was like, yeah, no problem, because I didn't have an agent. And then I went back to Sittingbourne, waiting for everything to go through, carried on playing. And then we had a game. The next game we played was a away match. I was at Gillingham train station, waiting there for a train. And I'd been in the newspapers all week, you know, because, you know, this Villa thing, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, oh, I'm waiting, I'll go have a look at the papers. And I went in the paper, back page, headline, Pavey's Villa dream falls through. And that's the first time I knew about it, through the newspaper. And it's got my manager saying how I've taken it well and how the two clubs couldn't agree terms. My club, Aston Villa, didn't reply to a fax. I've still got the clippings, you know. They didn't reply to a fax, and that was the end of it. And
how much was it?
I don't know. I didn't see any. It was not a lot of money, that's for sure. I heard something later on that Aston Villa wanted to use Sittingbourne, the club I was playing for, as a kind of nursery club, like down in Kent.
Yeah.
And then they wanted obviously more money for that or whatever. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it was me who suffered. And quite frankly, my head went. My attitude changed. I didn't want to play for this club. I didn't want to. And I started to get sloppy and I had some problems off the field. And
what kind of problems?
Can I say it? I got some. I got arrested.
For what?
Fighting, a lot of fighting. Just one crowd, not even one crowd, I can't blame them, it was all me, and you know, it's kind of this, it's hard to describe really. You know, it was kind of the wrong crowd.
Kändes det som att någon drog undan mattan för dig och din dröm var borta?
There was a lot of things. I remember.
Jag struntar i allt nu.
It was hard. It was really hard to take. And
hur länge pågick det den här jobbiga perioden? This hard tough period.
I don't know. I would say. I don't know. I had really, really dark thoughts. Really, I was really, really low. I think that was when I met my biological father.
Mm-hmm.
It was around that time, and I don't know. I remember sitting one day and saying to my dad, like, "What am I gonna?" You know, what he asked me actually, if you had a dream, what would be the best team? Like, if you could go to any team, what would it be? I said, best team. I said, what, any team? Like, he said, any team in the world. I said, Barcelona. Barcelona. I think the real Ronaldo was playing there or something. Then I said, Barcelona. Yeah, that would be a dream. It's Barcelona. He went, oh, so you'd move to Spain? I said, yeah, I'd like to play abroad. And I kid you not, I swear on my mother's life, it was 10 minutes or so, or I don't know, it was within 2 hours of that conversation, I got a phone call from the Aston Villa scout, And he said, "Can we, you know, I think he heard a few stuff or things that had happened." And he said, "How is it? Blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Listen, are you interested in playing abroad?" It was weird. It was really weird. I believe in fate sometimes, and this was it, definitely. And when he said abroad, you know, I'm thinking, hang on a minute, Barcelona are not going to call me up, are they? I was thinking Spain. I was thinking Italy. I was thinking somewhere exotic.
What about young Chile?
And then he says Sweden. I was like, Sweden? And even though I was in, I probably showed a face, but my voice said that I was really interested. I was like, yeah, kind of thing. And he mentioned Young Sheely. He said, "It's a team that's just come down from the top league, you know." And I was like, okay. He said, "Yeah, they're the highest league in Sweden. They just come down." So I'm assuming that Young Sheely is like one of them yo-yo teams or something. Not the fact that that was the first time in their history that they're in the top league. So he did well, like doing that to me.
And then, it was fun. Prata Barcelona,
Young Chile were the Barcelona of
det var bra i alla fall, utomlands.
So and that's when David Wilson comes in. David Wilson was a scout for Aston Villa in Sweden. And he was also playing for Young Chile, so he was playing and scouting at the same time. So that's where David... So you was right, I'm impressed.
Yeah. Vad visste du om Sverige då? Vad visste du? Menar du Göteborg kanske har talat om möjligtvis Malmö FF, men vad visste du mer? Vad vet man i England om svensk fotboll?
I'm a little bit ashamed to say I didn't know about AIK. But I did know about Malmö and Gothenburg due to the Champions League and Malmö is a big team back in the day. And
ja, var Europa Cup final det året du föddes.
Yes, Forest, yeah.
Trevor Francis avgjorde.
Two goals, didn't he? One. Yeah, they won back-to-back Forest, didn't they?
They're the only team that won two European Cups, but only one league.
Yeah.
Title. Only one league, English league title, but de vann som titelförsvarare.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Ja, så då hamnar du alltså i Ljungskile på en fiskarort på den svenska västkusten. Vad tänkte du när du från London, denna världsmetropol, dimper ner i Ljungskile?
Anyone that's listening to this knows my history. They know this story, but for anyone that hasn't, you have to remember, I come to Young Chile in the summer. So Young Chile is like a beautiful place where a lot of people have their summer houses from down in Gothenburg or around Trollhättan or whatever. They have their summer houses there, and normally it's only about 6,000 people live there. But in the summer, the population doubles, and it's beautiful, you know. And they train then during the afternoon because some people were working. So during the day, you know, with the younger lads, I used to go down by the sea and we play football, tennis in the sea. And I thought it was beautiful, brilliant. I love this place. You know what I mean? Everybody's so nice and all that. And the food was great. And it felt great. I remember they were sponsored by Nike at the time. So we turned up there, and do you remember the Nike Tempos? Mm-hmm. They had the Nike Tempos, these lovely Nike balls, and coming from non-league, so I'm like, the pitch would look perfect, you know, and we're talking Young Sheely's pitch now. Perfect, lovely, lovely green pitch. And I thought, I've done well here. So they wanted me to stay for 1 week. Mm-hmm. And after a week, they decided they wanted me to stay as long as possible. So that was a month. And I remember one during that time. I think it was I jumped in one game and did well. And then the second game, I jumped in a derby against Stenungsund and set up the winning goal, 2-1. And then the game after that, I scored on my debut against Kalmar away. And then the time had finished. I had to go back to England. And then we started to discuss contracts. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? It's a big step. You know, it's a small village and stuff, but it's really nice there. I was speaking to my parents. It's really nice there. Mm-hmm. I was 18. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, should I do it? Should I not do it? And I think we take a chance. and then I come back in the winter. And that's when I really realized what the hell have I done? You know, I turned up, the sea was frozen, half the people had gone, there was snow up to your knees, the town looked like the Wild Wild West, but snow. And I just thought, I've made the biggest mistake of my life. You know what I mean? I can't live with this. We were training on goose, not grass. Mm-hmm. The balls, they weren't the same Nike balls. They were like these orange, heavy medicine balls. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh. And that time in Yangshili, like a lot of Division One clubs, you know, they don't sign players until quite late because they save money. That's how they survive. So there was hardly any players there, you know. So I remember speaking to my mum. I was like, oh, I don't like it here, you know. Like, I made a mistake. I've just signed 2 years contract, but I got over it, and it was probably the best thing I did.
Kände du när det liksom vände, när du kände att det här är inte så, det är ganska okej ändå? Kommer du ihåg när det var?
I think when the snow went away. No, I think we went on a training camp, and that helps getting away, and then coming back and it weren't as bad. And I met a girl. Mm-hmm. That helped as well. Got closer and closer to other friends. Mm. That helped me. So, you know, I had my Swedish mama. Mm-hmm. There.
Bodde du hos en svensk familj då, eller?
No, I lived alone, and that was, I mean, that was also a big first time I lived on my own as well. You know, lived on my own, and I had to cook on my own. Mm. And you know, it was tough, but you have to do it if you want to follow your dream, you know. I said it before, with all due respect, if I would have gone to a club like Aiko, then I would have easily gone back to England. I think someone would have seen me, picked me up, and like this. But unfortunately, like, it didn't really happen in Yangshili for a while. And I remember winning midfielder of the league two times and still not getting a move. Mm. So I mean, people weren't really taking Yangshili so serious, you know.
Du var ju länge i Yangshili första sessionen. Det har varit där två sessioner första gången mellan 98 och 2006. Det är ju 8 år.
The first year was 1 year. That was 1 month.
Uh-huh.
And in 1 year I gave up football.
Uh-huh. Why?
It was a couple of things. Got in trouble again.
What did you do then in Sweden?
I don't want to talk about this one. But it was a combination of this, and I had a Barnsley come in for me. Uh-huh. Nigel Speckman was the coach. I had a good first half of the season. During the break, instead of going on holiday, I get a phone call from Barnsley. They want me to come down there, test with them. I go there, and you know me, I'm not the biggest guy and stuff. And the first training, we do this technical training. It was embarrassing. Like, people couldn't do kick-ups and stuff. I mean, it's simple headers, you know, when you head the ball to each other. I mean, nobody really looked like they wanted to be there. And I found it really strange. And then after the training, it was just technical training. Didn't make any mistakes or anything. And after the training, Nigel Speckman, he said to me, like, you know, I appreciate you coming, but we're kind of looking for players with a little bit more stature, bigger, stronger. Uh-huh. We're struggling at the bottom, right down the bottom of the league, and we need like this. And I was like, why am I here? Like, why do you invite me? He said, yeah. He said, but there's a game tomorrow, like an internal game. If you want to play the internal game, then you're more than welcome. I said, well, yeah, I've just come all the way from Sweden under someone's inviting me here, whatever. Of course I want to play. So we play this game, and, okay, you want to play with stature? Okay, so I went through everybody. I mean, I was knocking people up in the air for fun. Scored one goal, one-on-one with a keeper, went round him, scored. After the game, he comes up to me. He said, I'd like to have a word with you. So he takes me in the office again. He said, like, once again, thanks for coming. I'll be speaking to your agent and we'll keep in touch. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. What do you want to keep in touch with? You just told me the day before that you weren't interested. So I'm on a train back to London and my agent calls me and he says, oh, I heard it went really well. They really like you and all that. I said, what? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, but they ain't got the money now. They want you to, when your contract goes out of Young Shealy, then they wanna sign you because they haven't got the money right now. I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine with me. You know, I go back to Young Shealy, finish my contract, do my stuff for them. And he says, yeah, and it also gives them time to move people in and out. I said, no problem. So I'm buzzing again. Great. Championship, that was. Mm. So I'm thinking, great. Season finishes. Fly back. Mum picks me up from the airport. First thing she says, the manager's been sacked.
Mm-hmm.
I says, okay. He says, yeah, the agent called. Manager's been sacked. But he said, don't worry. Like, there's still hope. And the new manager come in, new staff, new players. They actually got relegated. No more Kenny Pavey. Mm-hmm. So that combined with this other situation, mm-hmm. I was just like, it's not meant to be. This football thing, it's not meant to be. Mm-hmm. So I went back to England and I started working. I thought I need a trade. So mm-hmm. I started working on the roofs, doing roofing.
Uh-huh. What are you working on?
Yeah, taking the tiles up the roof uh-huh. and doing that. And
that's hard work.
It was hard work, mm-hmm. but you know, I prefer that kind of work than just sitting down and in an office. So I was doing that. I was working in a clothes store, a designer clothes store. So I was working there 2 days a week. I think 3 days a week actually. Then I was working 2 days a week. Or sometimes 3 days a week on the roof, and I was playing non-league football just to get a bit of cash money. And
how much could you tjäna på non-league football? How much tjänade man på den tiden?
Nah, it was nothing. Yeah. £150 a game, okay. Cash. You got an envelope.
What year do we talk about now? Vilket år är vi inne på nu?
2002 maybe.
2002, yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. 2002, 2003. Something like that. Yeah, so I was playing football, but that was my party money. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I got my money, and then after the game, we all went out and went uptown London, and you know, had fun and did what we did, and then I get a phone call from Sir David Wilson again. This time he went to Finland to play for Hacker, I think. Uh-huh. And then he was doing his badges and he got a call from Young Shealy to be coach. And then he called me and said, listen, what are you doing? I was up on a roof. He said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just working. He said, I'm building a team. I want you to, are you interested in coming back over? And I said, listen, can I call you back? And I spoke to my mate who I was working with. He was his company. He said, are you mad? He said, go give it a go, you know? Mm. So I gave it one more go and... Yeah, lucky enough, it paid off.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Och 2006 så skrev du på för AIK. Hur såg den transfern ut?
I think I had a little bit of an inkling, but even then you don't know. But I remember playing against AIK at Rosendal and I had a fantastic game and done really well. Probably one of my best games of the season, actually. I said this many times before, you know, I was booed for pretty much the whole first half because I took Christian Hines, somersaulted him up in the air, one tackle. He nutmegged a couple of players, two tunnels, and then the crowd was, wee, wee, and then I come along like a steam train, bosh! And then every time I got the ball, it's a boo, boo! And of course, you know, for me, that's... I love it, you know. I mean, that just winds me up even more, and you even want to do even more better stuff, you know. So it's quite funny that from that situation, the following year they're cheering you, you know. I got a phone call from Stefan Söderberg,
som också varit med här i podden och suttit där du sitter, ja.
Legend, absolute legend. And to my shame, actually, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know the history and all this stuff. So he phoned me in his calm, soft voice. And he said, my missus was sitting next to me and she said, he said, yeah, there's a club that's interested in you. We want you to come to our club. And the club is AIK. And I had a pen and paper and I wrote down in big letters AIK and I was shaking it to my missus like this. And she was like doing a silent clap that the girls do, you know. Yeah. And but on the telephone, of course, I was cool as a cucumber. And I said, okay. I said, all right, yeah, that's good. And he said, yeah, so we were thinking this, blah, 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 blah. Can we send you this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And I remember one thing, there was negotiation. I remember I come from Young Sheely, so it's a small club, so the money that I got was small. But I remember we were negotiating, and I said to him, again, I didn't have an agent. But I said to him, yeah, I really want to come, you know. And he said, but you want more money. He said, Kenny, me too. And that was it, you know. Then I felt in real good safe hands, you know. I went up to Stockholm. He took me out for a meal. We went Sturhof. I mean, a fantastic man, you know. I've got nothing but praise for him. He did these meetings with the new players and their wives, you know, just a little coffee, just, you know, are you settling in, okay, and all this. And it went so far. It meant so much to me and my family. You know, well, I didn't have a family and it was just me and Danielle, but it meant so much to us, you know. And we really settled in well because of that start, in my eyes at least.
Mm-hmm. Och som Millwall kille då, komma till AIK som har kanske de tuffaste och elakaste, höll jag på att säga.
Most passionate.
Mest passionerade fansen. Så var det naturligtvis, ja, det var väl som att komma hem lite grann.
Yeah, you know, like I remember playing some pre-season games and, you know, scoring a couple of winners, you know. And I remember one against Bromopoekina, scoring a header like last minute. It was really late, and to me it was a derby. I mean, I didn't realise it wasn't the biggest derby, but to me it was a derby, and it was at Kuttaham. It was that winter was really, it was a tough winter, that 2006, but still there was, you know, a massive crowd at Kuttaham, and scoring that winner and running off, and I mean, to me it was like a league game. It was my first goal, you know. It meant so much to me. And started seeing the Pavey flag come out, you know, and I was like, that means a lot, you know. Then a couple of songs, you know, I was like, oh, you know, they like me here. And of course that builds up confidence and stuff, and I'd done well pre-season. And then it come to the, I picked up a little injury just before the beginning of the season, like 2 weeks before the beginning of the season, and I was doing so well. But I made it on the bench the first match against Gävle. Come on, last 20 minutes, and at Rosendal, And then the next game was my first game from start. We played away at Ustar and I scored. And again, I ran off and I remember banging the side of the fence and jumping in the crowd sort of thing. And yeah, I will never forget that moment. You know, it's my first Allsvenska goal and, you know, the atmosphere and everything like this. It was great. And then it just built on from there.
Och det gick ju bra i AIK. Du fick ju vara med och uppleva det här fantastiska året när det blev en the double.
Yeah.
Berätta om den säsongen.
I say it, you know, like you know, Rickard Norling done a fantastic job with the team, and you know, we were so close 2006, you know, one point with Elfsborg, you know, and we built up a way of playing, and you know, we just lost our way a little bit. You know, from what how it was 2006, 2007 we lost our way a little bit, 2008 was it weren't quite there. You know, we finished strong, I think, but it wasn't quite there. There was something that needed toning up in different places. And Mickey was part of that 2006. He was there as third trainer, so he knew the philosophy that Rick had. And Rick had got it from Stuart, and you know, but they put their own twist on it. And Mickey come in, and he could see what needed tuning up, and he come in and he brought a couple of good players in. But pretty much it weren't too much of a difference from the team the year before. And you need to win that first game. And we hadn't won the opening game for a while. It was many draws. Even when we come second, it was a draw against Gävle. So it was important to have a good start. And we had a really good training camp. We went to South Africa, and we didn't even play a match out in South Africa. We just played. We played amongst ourselves. We played a little internal match. I went cage diving, you know, with the great white sharks. I mean, went to Robinson Island.
Did you see the great white?
Yeah, seven of them.
Yeah.
So I can promise you, when they come, there was a few more bubbles in the water than before. But that was an experience. So we went away from that, you know, fresh, you know, got away. We come back. Week later, we went to Marbella. Again, we got the team spirit going. We played a couple of matches out there. Beat a Russian team that absolutely battered us, but we beat them 1-0. Ivan Obolo scored the goal. And then we went into the first game of season, and we won against Halmstad, and that was a great boost for us. But then we had to go away to play against the champions, Kalmar. We won there as well. Again, we're buzzing, you know. So it was, we really hit the ground running, and it flowed on from there.
Ja, och det, berätta hur det kändes då för att vinna, för då hade du varit i AIK några år och fått lära på vad hur klubben fungerar lite grann, hur stor den är.
For me, AIK is a club that should be winning the league a lot more often than they do, you know, every four years. I mean, ideally you want to win it every year, but you know, there's other great teams in the league that also play good football. But it's been a long time since we won it, and I think it was after there was a game against Halmstad. I actually scored when we went. I think it was the first time we went top of the league. Halmstad away 2-1, and it was raining. I remember they wanted to stop the game and they took us off. I remember all of us players shouting at Mickey like, "You can't let this game. You can't let them stop the game. Do you know how hard it is to come here and win? Blah blah on this heavy pitch, blah." I mean, he already spoken to the ref. There was no way they were stopping it. They just wanted to clear some of the water off, but we didn't know that. So I think you can see on the camera, you can see me and Josh like throwing punches at Mickey, going, "You can't do it. You can't stop it." And we went on to win that game, and we brung in Flavio, who that was the first game that he played. And we thought, a Brazilian playing on this pool, like there's no chance. And he's one of the best players on the pitch. He was brilliant, chipping it up and blah blah blah. So we went top, and then we had a lot of games where we just got out of it, you know, like we should have been dead and we late last goals. And I think the last four games there was three players that come off the bench to score winning goals, and that's a sign of, number one, a very good coach, because it takes a coach to keep the players are not playing satisfied and hungry and fit and healthy. And number two, obviously the quality we had in the team, that players could come off the bench, three different players can come off the bench and, you know, win games for us. Fortunately, I was one of them. It's probably one of my best moments in AIK, coming on and scoring the winner against Hammarby. And I think it was after that one that we that was when we thought we can do this.
Så var det i Göteborg också, va?
Yeah,
och Kärnström kom in, gamla Kärna.
Exactly. Well, we had Gabriel Oskan the game before me. Ja. Then we had me. Then we had Örgryta and then the man Daniel Sandström. Me and him were on the bench again. I was actually very angry because, you know, I just scored the winner and then I'm on the bench, you know. So we come on and I think we were just put on to sort of like close the game off, you know, like we go on there, we work hard, we don't let them score like this, more of an experience thing. And obviously we did a little bit more than that. I said to Shena before we went on, come on, let's go do this, let's go win this now. Not meaning like go win the game, I meant winning the league, you know. And yeah, you know, we have this fantastic situation. Everybody knows it, even if you're not a Gothenburg or Ajax fan. I think it was someone puts it down a wing, I think Obolo to me. I cut it back to Dooley. Dooley chips it, Sandström chest. Then he hits it in Shenna's corner. I always said Shenna's corner. He always, before the games or in training, he always shot from left to right. And he shot it through. And yeah, everybody's running everywhere. I run off to Mickey Starry. I don't see him, but I just see him running to me. So I run to him and I'm jamming in. I don't know if I can swear on this pod, but I'm going, we fucking did it. And Shena, you look at Shena, I mean, he can't believe it. I mean, I've asked him many times. He was like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I was offside or I just... And of course, he scored up that end. So there was no cheers. So there was no reaction. So, I mean, it was fantastic. And then after that, it was just a hell of a lot of partying, I can say. I mean, we got greeted. We flew home from the airport. And we was a lot of jokes on the plane and stuff, and you know, like with the stewardess, she was up putting, and we was all cheering at her, and there was champers, and we got off at the airport, and there was all the fire engines, and there was one guy driving along the E4. I hope he got home all right. He was trying to take pictures of us while he was driving. I mean, he had this big, massive, it looked like a photographer camera. And he was trying to take pictures of the bus, and we was all like, calm down out the window and all that. Mm-hmm. And then we come to Ambassador, and we have a big meal and everything. And then I think it was Yuan Segui comes out and he says, guys, you got to go outside. The fans are going crazy. They want to come in. You got to go outside. So we go out on the Kung Samun Bridge, we come out, and all we just see Ajax fans everywhere. They're standing on police vans. They're up lampposts. Brilliant. Then they start singing all the songs. I mean, fantastic. And like I said, there was a lot of partying. And we had the cup final a week later. I don't even think it was a week later, but it was maybe less, but let's say a week later, it was a cup final and we were still partying. It was this thing and that thing and that thing, and people started to say, guys, brilliant, but don't forget you've got a cup final next week, sort of thing. We were like, it's in the bag. That was the sort of cockiness we had. We knew that they had everything to play for. You know, if they don't win this, they've not won anything all year. We've just won the league, and the club ain't won the league for, you know what I mean, for a long time. So, I mean, it was on us, and obviously we go and beat them in the cup. We do the double, I think the first time in the club's history. And then it's more celebrations, you know. I had to detox quite a bit in January, I have to say. So, yeah, I mean, one of the years I'll absolutely never forget. And actually, my mum and dad, they were in London and watched it in a Swedish pub. Upstairs was Gothenburg, downstairs was Ajax fans. And they phoned up during the week and said, like, oh, like, I heard you showing the game and stuff. And they went, yeah, yeah, no problem. He said, oh, because my son's playing in a game. He went, oh, Brandon, yeah, don't worry, we're fixing, blah, blah. So we'll let you in. Turned up on a day, this massive queue. I mean, the pub is totally full. You can't get no one in.
Sweets in London.
Yeah, yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But they can't get in. And massive queue, and he goes to the front of the queue. He says, oh, hello, mate. He said, I'm my son's playing. I called you up. He says, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, come in. And they've all got like their Pavey 14 shirts on. And they go in, and it's cramped, and my mum can't get a seat, and she's standing there like a little bit nervous, all these men and all this, like. And then loads of my mates, they just keep turning up, going to the front of the queue. Yeah, with Kenny Pavey, blah, blah, blah. He's going, how many of you are there? So she can't get a seat. During the game, the rumours going around that my parents are in there. And obviously they put two and two together with all the Pavey 14s. Next thing I know, my mum's sitting on a sofa. People are taking pictures of her. After the game, I'm getting all these selfies from all fans. They were on Svenska fans, front sides of Pavey's. Brilliant. So, I mean, even they enjoyed the experience as well, so... Yeah.
Men det är ju härligt att höra dig berätta, Kenny. Samma passion som när du spelar. Sen blev det en säsong i Ljungskile, en säsong i Öster, men så kom du tillbaks till AIK. Yeah. Man tänkte ju att ja, okej, nu Kenny Pavey, nu är karriären över, nu ska han varva ner. Men så kom du tillbaks till AIK. Berätta hur det gick till när du 2014 gjorde din andra säsong.
Liksom. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had a good year in Ljungskile and Öster. I remember speaking to Torani, my manager now in Assyriska, and saying to him, you know, like, I'm thinking of, you know, I feel I can play higher than this, you know. And he was like, yeah, with your age and all this. And then I get a move to Öster. And then while I'm in Öster, halfway through the season, I get a phone call, saying that AIK were interested in me, and the manager, then sports chief, comes to me and said, listen, you know, AIK want you. So I was like, okay. So I was a little bit confused because, you know, I feel I wasted 2 years being away at AIK. You know, I missed out on a European adventure, and I really wanted to be a part of that. That hurt watching that. So I was a little bit confused, a little bit of mixed emotions, like a little bit angry, a little bit happy. Like, I didn't really know what to feel. And then they said to me, but we can't let you go. Like, we need you. We want you to stay. And I totally respected them. I signed a contract with them. And so I didn't put a dummy, a nap in my mouth and you know, and sit on the doorstep, oh, they won't let me go. I just got on, tried to be professional, do my thing. And then at the end of the season, I got a phone call again from AIK, and I spoke with Öster, and Öster said to me, like, if, you know, we'll let you go at the end of the season if they're still interested. And of course I went, and it was another great moment for me.
För du är ju speciell, alltså, du är ju jag läste någon intervju här i The Telegraph som har uppmärksammat att du är cult figure i Sverige jag berättar om din relation till AIK-fansen och så, för att de älskar din, du har ju till och med sånger som du berättar här som är egna sånger, och det är stort det. Berätta om relationen, hur du känner, för du har ju stått där uppe med Millwall-fansen, så du förstår ju hur de känner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And even when I left AIK, I went and watched the games, and I was the last derby, I was in the Norda, which someone managed to get on videotape actually when we scored. But no, you know, I've always had, like I said, it started good, you know, in AIK, with the way I play, my passion. You know what you're always going to get from me. You know you're always going to get 110%. You know I'm never going to leave the field without doing everything I can. I may not score 10 goals, 15 goals a season, but I will always make goals happen. I will cause mayhem. I will run for everything. I will run through walls for my teammates and for the badge on my chest. And that's the reason why I have this connection with the fans, because they can see that in me, both on and off the field. I think it's important for me to represent the club in the right way off the field as well. And I've done that, you know, to the best of my ability and try to sort of fly the flag for iCor, not just in Sweden, but in England and wherever I am actually. So, it's a match made in heaven, should we say.
Vem är den bästa spelare du spelat med, Kenny? Den bästa du spelat med? Du har ju varit på lite provspel och sådana saker. Du nämnde ju några spelare där när du var i Aston Villa till exempel.
I think it was really hard because my most successful year was that year, that double year. Yeah. And I think Ivan Obolo was one of them players that just, he gelled everything together. I mean, he played every minute of every game. He when we didn't have no one else to hit, we could hit him. He scored goals. He worked. He's behind off. His technique and his finishing, his heading. I mean, he was an all-round player, a very clever player. I mean, there's other players, you know, that have maybe better qualities, but all-round player and team player, I would have Ivan Obolo in my team every day of the week.
Den bästa du spelat emot då? Against?
Against? I played against a few good ones, but out of respect, being in Sweden, I played against Zlatan actually, but I would say Henrik Larsson. I would say because there's other players that maybe better players, but for the age that he was at and his movement, I remember having to mark him in the corner and I thought, oh God, not him, of all the players, you know. But I dealt with him, but still, you know, I mean, he's about my height. Yeah. And he's
so... Du är 178.
Yeah. Maybe I'm even taller than him.
Yeah.
And so good in the air, quality, smart. I mean, not the fastest, but I mean, great. And that year, he ended up going to Manchester United, and Man United wanted him. I mean, that says everything about him. You know, he jumped in Barcelona in the final, changed the game. Absolute legend in Great Britain, in Sweden, and Holland.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bästa tränaren du haft då?
Oh, this is always a hard one. This is
som betytt mest för dig då.
You know, I have respect for every single trainer I've had. They've all been, you know, they've all given me something, you know, and I've learned a lot of good and bad stuff of all of them, you know. I had the most successful period with Mickey Starry. It's really hard not to say it, but as I said earlier, you know, it was Rickard Norling that built that skeleton. It was Mickey that threw the meat on it, you know, and it's us players that finished it off. David Wilson is a huge guy in my life. He's the one who saved me two times.
Yeah.
You know, he got me out of the sticky situations that I was in, and I still have contact with him. He still phones me. He's working for Chelsea as a scout in Chelsea now. And he still phones me and wishes me luck and asks me how I'm doing, you know, before the seasons and stuff. So, I mean, yeah. So it's really hard to say, but
okay.
I don't want to say.
Nu är du ju 36 år, fyller 37 år. Du har skrivit på för Assyriska.
Yeah.
Men min fråga är, och det är naturligt, karriären håller på att ta slut så sagtliga. Vad gör Kenny Pavey on 5 år?
Yeah, well, I just passed my UEFA B license, so obviously I've got one foot in that pond. It's something that I want to give give it a go at least.
Kommer det bli en sån här coach som skriker the English way, eller mera lugn, calm?
It's hard to say until I'm out there, you know. If I'm anything like when I'm watching TV and I hear your voice, then I'm going to be an absolute lunatic. But I think one of my best strengths, if I do go into coaching, will be man management. I think I'm very good with people. I can read people well, and I think that's a quality in managers that you need to have, and that's something I'm quite confident that I have, knowing how to speak to the right people at the right time. And something you can't be to every single player, because it don't work. Some players you need to put the arm around, some players you need to kick up the arse, some players you need to take out.
What are Kenny Pavey or nice?
Nah, it doesn't matter. You can say what you want.
You're from Milwaukee.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Do what you want. Be hard, soft, whatever, you know what I mean? But just respect me. That's the main thing. And also, I'm going to start doing some stuff with AK. We have some talks, so nothing is concrete yet. So hopefully that all's sorted out.
Som inom tränarstaben eller scoutstaben eller
that I can't talk about but you know,
håller kontakten med
klubben with the club, yeah you know, like that was one of the reasons why I came back as well. We have bigger plans for the future and stuff, so.
Och du har rotat i Solna. Vi är ju grannar.
Yes, ja, grannar. I will be coming over for a nice couple of...
Kolla igen någon engelsk match någon gång.
Precis.
Och familj har du också nu?
Yes, ja. I have two children that were...
Var det samma tjej som du träffade nere i Chile?
Yes.
Daniela. Vad gör hon för någonting då?
She works in a boutique now. So she's assistant manager in this boutique. And,
du kan du vara manager och hon assistant manager?
That would be conflicts at home, yeah.
Kenny, baby, tack så mycket. Det är Swansea Watford för mig nu. Det var jättetrevligt där. Tack snälla.
Tack.
Tack för att du lyssnade. Vill du komma i kontakt med mig så går det utmärkt att göra det via Twitter, Niklas_Holmgren, Facebook, Holmgren-möter eller hemsidan niklasholmgren.nu. Ha det så gott så länge. Hej hej.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.